Hi. This is Rada. I kept on telling you about. So, Cosmin.
Hello, Ben. Pleased to meet you.
I'm Kingsley.
Rada.
Salut, Alex.
Let's
get a couple of business cards.
Unfortunately, we ain't got any because we gave
one.
Diana will give you one later.
Yeah, they have the cool.
I think Diana's got
one. I know.
Hi, you have new cards?
Do you create typefaces?
No. I would think we'd probably like to one day.
Tom
does. You'd hand draw a. I mean, Tom has done actually, and we would hand draw like a.
Well,
if we did a logo for Allcom, we might hand draw the fonts for that.
Definitely. That is something that is another one of our colleagues, fellow director, Tom.
Yeah.
He that is definitely right up his street.
Yeah.
So, what type of work do you outsource?
Mainly web stuff. Really.
Yeah, web stuff definitely.
Like
illustrators
coding
as well.
Yeah, and illustrators.
Illustrators.
Photo stuff,
coding and illustrators.
We can just very simple coding, but when it gets a bit more dynamic or a bit more
database,
then we have to outsource that.
So now that Radu is here, hi Radu, do you mind being in our podcast?
No, okay.
Radu is managing the other Romanian podcast.
There are only two podcasts?
I think there's also supplemental de cultura, cultural supplement.
Also count those.
There's a cultural podcast as well, and there's a TV news podcast, but pretty much the cool ones.
Obviously.
So we're in a cool Romanian podcast.
Yeah.
Cool Uber.
Yeah.
Cool Uber. all those terms, you know.
No, I disagree with Uber.
Why?
I don't like.
Okay.
You don't like Uber?
No.
What's
Uber? Uber cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're cool, but we're not Uber cool.
Yeah.
What about software design, you know, and graphical user interfaces? Have you ever wandered into that?
No.
Not really. We haven't done any user interface design, have we? Really?
No, not really.
Not really.
I suppose you kind of do it when you sort of design a website.
Exactly. I was thinking about that. Is a website designing a user interface, especially when you're doing something like a Flash-based website?
Yeah, and Flash is something we've sort of stirred away from for quite a while.
Yeah, we haven't used Flash for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, why?
Because it's so bad usability.
But when did you use it? We've had a discussion.
There was a very big discussion in the Romanian blogosphere whether to use Flash and, you know, to use
Flash
websites.
The 2.0 stuff.
Now use it never.
Really?
Don't use it ever. Dreadful thing.
And I mean, you just got to look at like the Flickr and the
and
everything
exactly
like that.
Exactly.
Nobody's using it.
And eBay,
I mean, it's almost like Web 2 has gone back to like, you know,
to the basics,
hot links and
but improved.
Like, exactly.
It has gone back. Design wise, I mean, probably the best big website in terms of usability and user interface design is the BBC, which is, you know, unbelievable the amount of stuff they have on there and how easy it is to use.
But then we would say
that. I mean, yeah, we would say that. But then all the multimedia and the videos and everything is amazing. And, you know, like Kingsley says, there's no Flash there whatsoever. You'd struggle very hard to argue how Flash could make that better.
That's a huge content side. I mean, obviously you don't use Flash into that.
But Flash could be useful on certain types of sites.
But I mean, like the big, like massive website like eBay doesn't use any Flash either.
eBay transactions, I mean, really. Yeah. Google will never use Flash.
No.
So, I mean, it's also technical things, but.
Hmm.
I mean, you use Flash when you have like a presentation website, not a content or transactional website.
I think even then it's outdated.
But the argument was that designers, or rather people, web designers, whatever, use Flash because Flash allows them to do many more stuff than plain, I don't know, HTML.
They were one of the arguments was that in Flash you can use pretty much any font that you like, and you can use all these cool animations,
and the rendering
it's much more, you know, the content is much more dynamic. and you know.
But it's like legal responsibility now, isn't it?
Yeah, and now there are more funds available, and now there are on South Bank that we talked about earlier, for example, not on the site we did, but on the main site. I don't know who did it, but on their main big site, they've got this bit of code which. Uses their corporate font and encrypts it in Flash, but it's still HTML. So it's still HTML text you can select, but it's displayed as an SWF. So we're getting really technical now. Displayed as a Flash file, so they can display any font they want and render it on any browser.
And
or
still
even just
go
highlight it like.
I'm not
like
the designer, but what would you want to use any font in the website? I mean,
Why would you want to? Well, as designers, definitely you'd want that control of the font.
Yeah, to have a large area to choose.
I'm not a designer.
No, you would want
strategy, and if you ask me, from all points of view, you don't need for besides I don't know, for maybe like a key visual, you can have a font that you want for like five words or something, that's a slogan or something like that. But besides that, no, for the text, never use it. It's not usable. It's not.
Yeah.
Well, it should be. You should be able to use the font that you want to use to give the site cohesion and to make
it
reflect the visual identity of the customer or whatever.
You should probably never. I mean, there's kind of two designers, form and function, and we're probably function designers rather than form.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
You should never let your choice of font get in the way of readability, for example. So
we've made this mistake in the past.
That's the same whether you're doing a leaflet or whether you're doing a website. You know, you won't want to choose a font that no one can read. And if that means on a website that the font you've chosen means they're going to have to wait 20 minutes to download this and the other, then let's use a different one. So
you're saying that there are two types of designers, form designers and function designers, based on one or another?
Well, there are subcategories. a lot of the time, broadly speaking, there are designers that are concerned with form and style and fashion and look, and designers that are concerned with function and more usability and effectiveness and things like that, and ideas and things like that.
So they're both
broadly
functional designers.
I think so, pretty much, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And the company is pretty much like that. You know, I mean, you get one of the things when we started was we didn't want to have a house style. You know, a lot of companies. An easy one is the Designers Republic from Sheffield in London. If you've not heard, you'd recognise their work. They they're very stylized. Yeah, and that's fine. Great, and the Attic.
Yeah, the Attic is another one.
You know, and they've got a great style and it looks great, but in 10 years' time, it's probably not going to look so great. The problem is if you're in fashion, you're inevitably going to go out of fashion. You know, so if you look at design, like we just said, Alan Fletcher, or even. To not such a great extent, but even Jamie Reid and people that Kingsley mentioned, they are timeless because they've not followed a fashion and their stuff doesn't go in and out of fashion. So.
Inspiring.
Ben, would you recommend to a young person to go and do design? Is it a good way of living? Is it?
What kind of question?
Well, it's rather silly.
In London, or
what are you expecting to see?
In Remain.
I'm actually. Right, okay. Well, people, if you came to me and said, should I be a designer, I would say, probably, if you're asking me, then no, you shouldn't. Because either you've kind of got it inside you and you're passionate about it, or you're not. And if you have to ask, then you're probably not passionate. And we get lots of people that come. I mean, someone came to see us in the summer, for example, a girl
like
who was 16. And she wanted to be a designer. And Kingsley said, what designers do you like? And she couldn't think of any. So it's kind of like if at 16 you can't name another designer, then forget it. You're not that interested. And it's so competitive, and there are so many of them that you've got to have that passion. So, and to just take the question a little bit further, it's the same with loads of people say, I want to start my own design business. And I kind of say the same thing. You know, when they say, should I start my own design business? It's kind of like, well, the people that start their own design businesses aren't the people that ask, should I start one? You know, they just do it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so it's a bit like that, really. So if you're asking me, then probably no, because you've just done it.
I don't want to be a designer.
If someone was saying, as a career choice, I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a merchant banker, or I want to be a lawyer, or I want to be a designer,
I would say no, it's something that you have a passion for from a very early age.
I thought of this question because you said you're going to colleges and you're giving lectures there, you're speaking there and so on. I was wondering if people came up to you after the lecture and they came with their works.
Somewhat related.
They came with their works and showed it to you.
Yeah,
they did.
Me and Kingsley did a talk in Cardiff last year and I don't know, 5 or 6 of those have been to see us since the studio with their portfolios because... You know, we're happy if people listening to this podcast, you know, if you want to come to the studio, if we've got time for half an hour, a cup of tea, and we'll go through your portfolio, give our humble opinion. But again, like we sort of said this afternoon, really, you can spot within about 5 minutes someone that's interested in it and someone that isn't. From one or two pieces of work, you know straight away whether the work's good or bad, whether they've got the passion, the desire, the commitment it takes, you know, how they've laid the work out, how they talk to you, whether their portfolio's, you know, smart and clean or dirty and dusty, and how they hold it, everything. You can't tell instantly, but not far off instantly, you can tell whether someone's any good or not. Really.
Yeah, my question was, how do you actually tell young designers that they're not so good and that their work is not really as
well,
they presume it is?
No, it's not. It's not telling someone that their work's no good. It's trying to. For young designers, and we've had them as well, where they've come in and they've done like work experience and stuff like that. It's not telling them that they're doing wrong or anything like that. It's trying to guide them to sort of like to ask them and get to the depth of them to say, are you really interested in this? Do you really want to do this? That's what it's. It's not telling them that they're. You know, that work's rubbish or anything like that. It's just guiding them through it because, you know, my work was rubbish to start with.
yeah, exactly. And there are people who aren't very good, but I think you've got to say to yourself, as someone who's, you know, getting towards being senior in the industry, if you come in and you just say to somebody your work's rubbish, then that's not being very helpful.
Yeah, it's not.
So, you know, it might make you sound good, but it's not helpful to them. So you've got to try and say, okay, well, this isn't good or that's good, but better to concentrate on this bit is really good, so let's just have more of this and less of that. And that's what we would normally do, is say, you know, do more of this and less of that, and then come back when you've done more of that.
It's definitely encouraging them.
Yeah, definitely. And there's always...
Like Ben says, you can tell within the first 5 minutes if someone's into it. And those people that are interested and they have got... There is a spark there. You just want to encourage them to keep doing it, not give up. Definitely never give up.
What did you think about the works of the young designers you talked to in here?
You can be sincere about it.
And the
you also
talked
to them. Yeah, you gave
them some
feedback.
It was very impressive.
Yeah,
it was very high quality.
Yeah, I think there was.
Yeah.
There was. I mean, they were very good. They're probably all of them. Well, criticism of all of them is they all could have gone further. So they all could have done a bit more. They all could have taken their ideas a little bit further along the line. But maybe they didn't have time or something. But they could have developed all of them a little bit more. But all of the ideas were very original. All of them were different.
Yeah, there wasn't any one of them that you'd have said. I certainly wouldn't have said no. It's no good. You might as well go and be a make dog food.
And it's a very tough brief because, you know, you've asked them to think of a name for a TV station and an identity,
and then
apply. And the name is very, very hard.
Yeah.
You know, especially for a TV station.
Yeah.
There's lots of.
We were kind of devious. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So they've done well to get that far.
Yeah.
So they've all done well. I mean, we. Yeah, that's it really. There were some criticisms. I think probably only one person had thought about how the logo would actually look on a TV and should visualise that.
Yes,
how it looked on a TV.
That
was quite important. And there was, I think, only two of them that had really considered imagery quite a lot. And obviously a TV identity is going to involve a lot of imagery. And again, there was, say, three or four who'd really, really developed it into different... So it was quite flexible and could work on different things. So, yeah, but otherwise good.
So what about sustainable design?
It's late at night for Ben.
Okay, and over to Ben.
Yeah, let's just have two more questions.
This late in the night and this late into the podcast, your question has to be more specific than more about sustainable design.
So I was telling you about the fact that you seem to always raise a bit of a controversy. Last time it was the thing with design engineering management consultancy. Now you started this thing with sustainable design, and I'm sure you know what I mean.
You wait till what I've got in store for next year.
Yeah, I
think I can answer
it,
because I went to the conference and always put the SIP code. No, I'm kidding.
But just really quickly on sustainability, it's just, like I said softly, it's just that more it's going to become a bigger thing, and you need to be ready for it. And clients aren't asking yet, but they will be asking, is this sustainable, is this recyclable, are you using green energy, are you using waterless ink, so you're doing all this stuff. Particularly governments are going to ask first, so you know, a lot of people have got big government clients, they're going to be saying this has to be printed using this standard. I mean, there are already EU standards for printing and blah blah blah. It's just going to be a much much bigger thing. Plus also, you know, everyone's getting fed up with loads and loads of packaging when you get to the supermarket. It just, not just for the environment, just pisses you off, and there's so much packaging. And that's basically designers' fault, really. I mean, there are other issues, brand managers and so on and so on, but you know, a lot of that is designers' fault, so we just need to think about that. Planners, they've got a lot to blame, yeah.
But, definitely.
You know, PR people are the worst. you know, you've just got to think about that.
Yeah, fair. So you kept on telling me about how much you dislike planners.
Planners are fine. Every planner I've ever met are very nice people.
Remember, the PR is always to blame, so...
Oh, PR people are dreadful.
Yeah, I know. Being a friend with one is...
They're like planners, but without the L-A-N-N-E bit.
That would be almost funny at this hour. Yeah. I'm sorry.
let's wrap it up, really. We have to finish. I mean, they're really
so
tired.
What about you?
Yeah, Rabbit,
do
you have any questions? I mean, you're doing something with your laptop every time
you came.
I thought he was just transcribing one.
I have a question. I'm not sure if you got to it, but I'm working a lot with designers, but I kind of say about myself that I'm doing pre-design work because I'm structuring things. Like, I know, let's take a project, let's say it's a website or it's a brochure or it's whatever project. I'm part of a group of people that actually says what needs to be put in the brochure or into the website. What needs to be put on the homepage of the website? What kind of element we need there in order to achieve our goals with that website? Well, how do you see that in your work? I mean, you're designers. You're probably working on that as well. If you're taking a project for a brochure, let's say, or for a website, you're probably working on that part as well. And how do you see these two going? Is it okay to have the same both skills on one person, or does it need to have? I mean, looking at it, because I kind of see it as having two persons, two different persons working on that. How do you see that?
I think if you're in a company where we're very busy, I think you would need two people. I think we kind of have that kind of thing with Emma, who we've taken on, who's kind of a project manager. But in a smaller company, then. Just the one person, I think, could pretty much do that.
Yeah, I think we've felt a need in the last year, maybe a bit longer than that, to get a little bit more strategic and do a little bit more work before you start designing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we certainly would do more of that now. So, kind of a lot of the time clients come to us and this is the text for the brochure, it's already sorted. But a lot of the time, particularly they come to us because they say, there's two projects in particular, or the South Bank one was a little bit like that, but they come to us and say, we've got this thing and we don't really know what we want, or we did a project for Sainsbury's in the UK where they said, we've just got this room and we want to do X, Y, can you, like, to cut a long story short because it's late, but can you do something in the room? you know, so you just get given an empty room, yeah, and we do something that's not interior design, it's not graphics, but it's content, if you like.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It requires us to think about the thing before we start, to have ideas about the thing before we start designing, rather than just saying, can you design us this,
uh-huh.
if you see what I mean.
And how important do you think it is in terms of a project being successful, how important is the strategy part versus the design part? I'm with the strategy part. So.
I think, but I think the obvious
question.
Design is that there
Thank
should
you.
Be some balance to it. I mean,
I think also depends on the type of the project, to be quite honest. But
yeah,
but it's something we've been quite bad at in the past in pitches.
Yeah.
In terms of strategy, yeah, because we get so wrapped up in the actual idea and the designs that we've
forgot
done,
the strategy.
But to explain it how we got there, we haven't done it. But now
I'm feeling
it.
You're working on it.
We're working on it.
Yeah, you always do the strategy. You just forget to tell people.
we forget to tell.
Yeah, so you say this is red and this is great, but you forget to say.
And then it's hard to explain because
you don't recall the actual steps. Yeah, you have
to
go backwards and say, okay, we tried green, we tried blue, tried purple, tried
exactly,
orange,
exactly.
And we didn't like for these, you know, these valid reasons. But it's just we, you know, got so quickly to this is red, we forgot to tell you about it. And so yeah, like Kingsley says, we're not there yet, but we're certainly working towards. Saying, you know, I mean, even this is an orange one, this doesn't work, it's a purple one, this doesn't work, it's a green one, and the red one works.
I think
and it's always loads better when we do that, but...
I think you think that the strategy is kind of irrelevant.
No, not at all. I think that's important.
It just doesn't come naturally. It comes naturally, but you don't vocalise it because you do it all in your head, so... No, it's very important. Very important.
I think it depends on the type of project, because you can't do everything in your head. If it's like a complex project, mainly if it's a brochure, maybe it's okay. Again, I'm separating content from design. Because like, what I'm saying, strategy for a brochure is what content do you put in, you know, how do you structure the brochure itself. That is partly content based, content related. But in a website, if you do like a BBC website,
mm-hmm.
well, I think strategy is 80% of the work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely.
See what I mean? I mean, it depends on the type of the project.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, I mean, sometimes we get, although less and less, but sometimes you get people come to you and say, for example, this is last year's Christmas card, do us another one. And
obviously.
It's just a design issue. But other times you say, you know, we want to communicate this to this people. Think of a thing, and it might be a video, it might be a brochure, it might be an email, it might be a conference, it might be anything. So yeah, that's more strategy. So, but we get both types of project.
Yeah. Again, a BBC website is different than a Christmas card or any type of communication. One-time communication, if you think so.
Yeah.
Obviously, it involves more strategy.
Also, I mean, one thing that's interesting for me about a lot of these websites and the BBC one is, you know, they're constantly changing. Probably every day the BBC website, some part of it changes design-wise. So there is never a point where they say, okay, stop, let's redesign, let's go on. You know, they're constantly changing it. And they're probably working on the next design now that will be unveiled in 2 years. You know, they're constantly evaluating. And obviously it's dead easy to do that on the web, so it's not so easy to do that with a brochure.
Yeah.
But so a lot of designers... I mean, just think... We're going off topic a bit now, but, you know, designers, if you're going to be a designer now and in the future, you have to think a lot more quickly. And you have to think a lot more like that, and you won't be asked anymore. Here's a perfect brief, come back in 2 weeks. You're going to be asked to, you know, can you do this? Can you tweak that a little bit? Can move towards this? You're going to have to be loads more flexible, know loads more different things.
Yeah. Going back to that, it's when I'm saying the type of project, my focus and strategy is because I get briefs like, look, we have our sales go down. We have tons of competition coming in. We need to increase our sales.
What do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's definitely
exactly
strategy.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't have time to design as much as I would like in the process, because you need to do stuff quickly and you need to do strategical things, put things in place, work on different channels, and that is definitely strategy based. If you do one-time communication, it can include a lot of strategy, but it's a different way. Design, that of course is more important. When I say design, it's obviously not just designing a card. As you said, it might be a video. You can choose. There's the strategy part.
Well, good designers, even back in the
earliest days would be strategic anyway. It's just like we said, they wouldn't tell you about it. So whoever designed the Coke bottle or whoever designed the Kellogg's logo, whatever, they would have been very strategic. They just wouldn't have talked about it really. And but yeah, I think now there is, probably because of the Mac and things like that and Photoshop, there are more designers who just replicate things and don't think about the ideas and the strategy.
Well, there's people working in strategy that replicate things and don't actually think about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like, you know, good people and bad people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not, it's in every business or in every
yeah.
every skill that you might think of.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm ruining your podcast because I'm
no, you're not.
Strategy.
It's already ruined.
Well, no, I mean, our podcasts are just discussions.
We have the last question of our. No, it's really short.
Back in the company, we have, sorry to interrupt. Yeah, we have this thing in the network with, we see folders with final version.
Final two, yeah.
No, but
yeah.
The
yeah, we banned that in the
Well, the real
final one and final
yeah.
two.
The real final question of each of our episodes is
we'll try and make this answer 8 minutes long, so then we get to 1 hour 30.
I think it will be 8 minutes long because We like to finish with a song. Each of our podcasts is finished with a song.
You gotta be Sex Pistols.
And we, you know, and we're curious, which song would you like us to finish with?
What, do we have to sing it? Or
no, definitely not.
No. You just have to tell us the name, and that's it. You know, you're basically choosing it.
Well, you should
now
play Kingsley's new song. What's that called?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that
yeah.
called? You can send them.
You
a
should play Emma.
Emma.
Oh. Your single is coming out soon?
Yes, I think the beginning of April.
Okay.
Oh, good.
And we will definitely link to that. So
yes,
maybe
definitely.
People
definitely.
In maybe the million potential buyers in Romania.
There's
will
only 1,000 of them.
Very rare, very
maybe
rare.
100, to be more realistic. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
yeah,
you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Really, thank you. And thank you. It's the PR thing, you know.
It's the final thing.
It's the final, final.
It's
yeah.
the final, final. Thank you.
And thank you also
thank you
to Radu for joining
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And thank you, Cosmin.
Thank you, Cosmin.
You left the building.
No, he'll be back. He'll be back. Just a short break. And thank you to everybody or anybody who listens.
Like my mom.
No one to wave goodbye.